check him out. I was telling the people, check out Joel Friday TV. He's going to be live right after Hake today. It is, let's see, are we live? Let me just make sure. It is 9 o'clock a.m. actually, U.S. Pacific Standard Time. We're counting down. Daylight savings time is coming. We're going to spring forward. We're going to start an hour earlier. Coming up pretty soon here in about 5 days or so, I think. Now it's 9:01 a.m. It's Wednesday, March 6th, A.D., 2024. I'm going to have a guest today, guys. Krishan the Don. Krishan the Don will be talking about his theory on Paul the Apostle and Christianity. Some of you guys have commented on Paul. Some of you guys are Paul deniers. We'll see about that. White people are embracing white victimhood. Right-wingers are becoming gullible on conspiracy theories. These are all tips from Krishan the Don for you guys. And the root of American racism. So Krishan the Don was on the Hake Report a couple of times already. He even debated Hake and Joel Friday one time. So maybe a few times he's been on here. Krishan the Don of Misfit Nation. And he will be taking your calls if you'd like to call in. And we may get to some other things. I did see your super chats have come in. And if there's time, he'll be on for like an hour, maybe two. Maybe 2 hours, maybe all 2 hours. But if time, I'll try to get to those other things that I haven't gotten to in like all week so far. But anyway, guys, let's get right on with the show!
One, two, three, four. Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la. Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la.
Hey, guys! How you guys doing? I am fine. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'm wearing my Trump t-shirt. It very subtly says Trump. I'm looking at it on the screen. T-R-U-M-P. I got it from Trump Hotel, which does not have a casino in Las Vegas. Nice. Shout out to our greatest president who just won on Super Tuesday, big time, except for Vermont. The socialist state that where the edumamificated, brainwashed, blind white people apparently voted for Nikki Haley. Give me a break! Shout out to the whites, right? Yeah. So it's a maybe I should have gotten a large. This is a medium. I don't know. Maybe I'll grow into it. No, shrink into it. Hopefully not. Probably. Anyway, guys, I want to get right started with my guest. You can call in 1-888-775-3773. I have with me Krishan the Don. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can. Press 1 in the chat if you can hear Krishan the Don chat, people. We don't call you tards. Press 2 if you cannot hear him. Krishan, C-R-I-S-H-A-U-N. Krishan. Sort of like Sean King, but Kri in front of it. Krishan, sorry, Krishan. The Don, D-O-N, of Misfit Nation. And cool. Tell the people a little about yourself, Krishan the Don. You've been on The Fallen State. You've been on Hake. You do your own podcast with a couple of co-hosts, I think. Still with those guys, right?
Yeah. Still rolling strong with my co-hosts, Skrill Kill and Wanda.
Shout out to those guys. I met them.
Shout out.
At least one of
yes.
them.
Yes. You met Wanda in nice. Person. Yeah, definitely. But I do my own podcast. I used to be a rapper. I used to be in the music industry. I kind of left that for many reasons, including my morals. Yeah. Actually, that was probably the biggest reason. And basically picked up podcasting because I always loved radio. and it was the, you know, it was the closest thing to that that I could do. And, you know, obviously they wouldn't put me on radio. I've tried.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I pretty much talk about politics. I talk about life. Racism is a big, big one. Both of my co-hosts are black. I'm half black myself. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny is I was thinking back to... I was thinking back to one of the times that you were on the show, and I had a black caller insist that you were white. But I've never heard of a white man named Krishan. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is white. Maybe it is a white name. It's one of those.
Well,
is it French?
Here's the thing is I don't know if you've heard this new term. It's called FBA.
Foundational
Black American.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed is that they don't include Jamaicans in that or Caribbean black people.
Ah, right.
So
they're not Black Americans.
Right, right. Yeah. They're not foundational.
Their ancestors weren't slaves in the in North America here in the United States.
I guess that's what I've rooted the whole like term to mean, because like every time I try to get it defined, they can't, like, you know, liberals, they never give you a straight answer.
True.
But I figured that's what it means. But the great thing about that is it excludes my people,
right,
Jamaicans, from blackness. And that's exactly what I want. So I've been pushing the term. Like, I love that term. I think the right wing should even push it, because
FBA.
It's stripping away all their coalition of blackness. And they don't even realize they're so stupid. They don't realize they're doing that. So we should rah-rah cheer that on. FBAs, I love them.
It is interesting that everybody infights and distances once themselves from one another. They like to, you know, the races distance themselves from one another.
I call it the struggle Olympics. I know a lot of people use that term, but that's kind of what it is. It's you're not as struggling black as I am.
When you're in your own family, you distance yourself from you alienate one another inside your own family. There's never ending division when you're a child of Satan, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. You're definitely right. So. And also, I just want to preface this, because I'm glad I really loved your intro today, because you said something that's really important. And I probably would have missed saying this, is that I have a lot of criticism for the right wing today. And I want people to understand that I am on the right wing. I'm a conservative. And everything I say is in sort of helping our strategy, because a lot of right wingers I've noticed have gotten really defensive. And I guess because election time is around, and this is part of my whole thing today. But everything I say is to help us.
Yeah.
It's not to hurt us. And I don't mind infighting. I think infighting is a good thing, because that's actually what differentiates us from the left. We have different ideas. We have different strategies, and we should be open to hearing them.
Infighting as in iron sharpens iron, and we aim for the truth. It's not infighting out of hatred, but infighting out of love.
Always. Oh, that's how I always see it. Like, I try not to ever have personal issues get involved in this. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Even me and you, you said it in the intro, me and you have debated and it's gotten contentious at points. And it's like, we're still like, there's no issues there.
Right.
Like, it's just me and you. We have two different ideas of.
Are you watching a screen there? Because you're not looking at the camera.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm
you're
like,
fine. I was just curious what's going on. So you're looking at the screen, and then you're but you can look at the camera sometimes. Okay.
I could I could move the camera if it helps. Does it make it look better?
If you look at the camera, it looks more natural.
It feels weird to not look at you. All right,
right,
let me move
I understand
it to a different screen. I got you.
Okay.
This is better?
You can go back to looking. You can go back to looking sideways. When you're looking up, it looks like you're looking in outer space in La La Land. Go back to that one. That one's fine.
Like I'm smoking pot.
Pardon my strange interlude.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
I'm a man of production, so I get it.
Let's dive right into these topics, because I want to try to get to all of them, man. And you guys can call in 1-888-775-3773. By the way, somebody says that's a pretty sick shirt. Oh, Hake. Oh, I thought he was complimenting your shirt. Misfit Nation t-shirt. He's wearing his podcast shirt. Yeah. Right on, man.
That's a logo.
Are you a ball earther?
Yeah.
Nice. Sure. Same. Because that looks like a baller.
Argument. Yeah, you know, I had a flat earther actually contact me, and we had a debate on it. Have you ever heard of Flat Earth, Dave?
I have.
Yeah. He's he's a really like interesting dude.
Yeah.
But he's just out of his mind. But I whittled it down with him to that it's basically just a political stance. It's like, I don't believe what the government's telling me. So like, yeah. And I get that. And
true,
I totally
me too.
Get that.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't take it to that extreme. So
right.
I focus on things that matter to me directly. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of stuff that kind of matters, let's get into this Christianity thing. Your theory on Paul the Apostle and Christianity.
Yeah, well, I get this feeling because I get a lot of people, and I think even me and you got into this debate about judgment and whether or not Christians should judge each other.
Yeah.
Or judge at all. And I've gotten that from a lot of Christians because my channel and what I do is very judgmental. I admit that. However, I do think that that is what Jesus wanted us to do. When people ever try to explain to me why judgment is bad and they reference the Bible, they're always referencing, and I did the research, that it's Paul that they're quoting. And it's Paul basically writing letters to Christian churches at the time. And this is after, I think, 50 years after Jesus died.
Wow.
Yeah, so basically he was trying to tell the Christian churches at the time on like kind of the way Christianity should be taught and the way that we should behave, let's say. And
are you sure it was 50 years? Did he live that long of a life? Because he was.
I'm pretty sure. I could be off on the number. I could be off on the number.
Irrelevant. Go ahead.
Yeah. However, he was, you know, speaking about like there was like open incest going on in the church. There was, you know, worshiping of false idols. There was people denying the resurrection and, you know, sexual activity going on. There's a lot of stuff going on in the church at that time. And already they were kind of losing their way of how Christianity should be, you know, how we should live the way of life. Long story short, part of his criticisms was the judging part, was that he believed that we shouldn't be judging each other. And that is the quotes that people throw out as far as why Christians shouldn't judge.
Can you name like a few of those quotes offhand? Do you know them paraphrase or whatever?
I believe it was Rome. It was all his letters. They all pretty much said the same thing because he was writing the same letter to different churches.
Yeah.
The letters to the Corinthians, the letters to the Romans, the letters to the, I think it's Ephesians. I think that's how you say it.
I remember that he would say, you shouldn't be backbiting and gossiping and infighting and dividing. I follow Paul. Yeah. I follow Apollos. I follow Christ. Stuff like that.
No, I agree that we shouldn't be, for instance,
but that's not
a lot
necessarily
of
what he's talking about.
Well, a lot of people conflate slander with judgment.
Right. Yeah.
In the Bible specifically, a lot of people throw out things like, for instance, I have it here, James 4:11. I don't have the exact quote.
Oh, yeah.
But where they conflate slander with judgment. And he's basically saying, it's a person named James who wrote it, saying that you shouldn't slander your brother because that means you're judging him. And it's like, that's not what that means. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of other people also, but most people usually take Paul's quotes from the Bible. Now, if you were to break down what Jesus actually says about judgment, Jesus tells us that we should judge each other. We should judge our brothers. But in order to judge each other, we have to judge ourselves first, honestly and righteously. You get what I'm saying? Because that's the only way you're not being hypocritical. Also, I believe that's the way that your message actually gets through, is that you're practicing what you preach. You get what I mean?
I do. I know that Jesus said, pardon my interruption, but I remember Jesus said, if you will be, by the judgment you, did Jesus say this? By the measure that you judge is the measure that you'll be judged by. Do not judge.
I don't know if he said that exactly, or maybe that's just sort of a paraphrase.
Judge not, lest ye be judged. Is that him, or is that Jesus?
I'll pull up actually some of the quotes here, so we're not.
I know some Christians we are. Matthew 7.
Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgments. That's a I don't know if that's where
Jesus, at one point, he said, why do you look at the speck of at the speck in your brother's eye when you have a plank or a log in your own eye?
And then the next part of that is where a lot of people forget, is that he says you have to first remove the plank from your own eye.
Yes.
Before you remove the speck from your brother's.
Yeah. And then you can do
again,
that. And it does
that's
say
again, teaching you judge yourself first.
Yeah.
Then judge your brothers. And then he also tells us that we then have to judge the world.
Right. Christians will judge the world. I remember that quote in the Bible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So any Christian that I've ever come across that tries to tell me that we shouldn't judge, I feel like is a false teaching of Christianity. And it's actually not Christianity. It's more Paulism or whatever you want to call it. Now, I don't remember Paul saying
stuff like this. Do you remember Paul saying stuff like this?
I'm going to pull up the okay. I'm going to pull up the quotes.
But you're right. It depends on what you mean by judge. People get hung up on words. And the Bible says both things. Jesus himself said both things. He said, judge not, lest you be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be used to you, against you. That's the NIV translation. So it might be a liberal translation, I admit. But
it could all be liberal translation.
Right. But there is a prideful, arrogant, self-righteous judgment. And then there's the just... Let's say dispassionate, true judgment.
I think Jesus himself specified righteous judgment.
Yeah.
He didn't just say judgment.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's where I think a lot of people, like even back then, they misconstrued words and they got it. They kind of interpreted even what Jesus was saying wrong back then.
Yeah.
And it got put into the Bible for, you know, whatever reasons.
Yep.
I think Paul was definitely like sort of looked at as at that time as like the leader as far as where is Christianity going?
Yeah.
So I think that's why he was almost idolized himself, even though he talked about worshiping idols being a bad thing.
Right. That's happened so often they did the same thing with Jesus. People do that with anybody. They will put people up as their leaders or their, and then they'll, it's just like what's written about in the Bible. I think Paul himself said it. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. He's criticizing these different people who claim, oh, they follow this guy. Team Nick Fuentes, team JLP, team this or that.
Right.
And that's not, you shouldn't be taking sides in that way. That's worldly. Christ is your leader.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's okay to like gravitate
of course.
To people and like people.
It's
and
natural.
That's the thing that Jesse actually taught me was he said, and I've heard him say it before, don't look at me as like some kind of like hero or leader or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only going to disappoint you. I'm a human.
Right.
And that made me respect him so much. And it's weird because you're right. A lot of people respect that so much. They'll love him more and idolize him more.
Right. I know.
It really is a weird like kind of
human nature.
Maybe it's
evil.
Just human, evil human nature. That's we're all looking for an answer.
Yep. So do you don't necessarily, you're not thinking that Paul was a liberal. You're just saying that he was misconstrued. If he was talking about this infighting and judging and stuff.
No, I honestly just disagree with his view on judging.
Oh, okay.
I think it was, and maybe his view on judging was misconstrued.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
So
who knows? But everything else, like honestly, all the stuff he was saying about the churches at that time, like, yeah, I agree. That's not how Christians should behave.
Right.
Shouldn't, you know, so.
Yeah.
At least I don't think so.
Right.
We have sort of a way of living that's been spelled out for us.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So you're not saying that Paul is was wrong for being anti-feminist, for example. Not that feminism really. Yeah, he said women should be quiet and should not lead or be over a man and stuff like that and teach.
See, now you're giving me reasons why I like Paul.
Right. And some people have called into my show and said that Paul directly contradicted Jesus in a lot of instances. And you guys can call in if you are prone to call in on this subject or whatever else is coming up. and talk with Krishan the Don. 888-77-JESSE.
I did bring this up to you because I was watching you guys have the conversation on Paul, and I wanted to call in, but I couldn't.
Okay.
But it was a really interesting conversation. I like these kind of...
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
right on, man. Right on. So... Were you able to pull up anything that Paul said message wise about the judgment thing?
This is the Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans 2:1-3. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based in truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and you do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment?
I love that passage. It reminds me a lot of what Jesus said. The term pass judgment on, to me, it has connotations. It has connotations of looking down on somebody. Whereas when you judge the Christian way, I don't think you're looking down on anybody.
And here's the thing, is this is where I think maybe he just wasn't clear on his words.
Yeah.
Is that if he would have specified righteous judgment, mentioned righteous judgment in there somewhere, I think it would at least take the idea where Christians use that quote to throw at me to tell me this is why you should stop judging.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Again, this is why I'm not I'm not anti-Paul the Apostle. I used to be when I first.
Oh, really?
But then I started thinking about it more, that it's like, you know, he did have other ideas that I agree with. He wasn't just a one-dimensional guy. So I took one thing that people were throwing at me and judged him for that.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. So people came at you for being a quote-unquote judgmental conservative Christian man.
Yes, sir.
And they were coming at you with quotes from Paul, and so that's what turned you against Paul for a minute, until you realize that Paul is actually not coming from the place necessarily that these people are coming from, but maybe you think that he's off on this topic.
I'm saying that maybe he was, maybe he wasn't.
Yeah.
But I get more the idea that he was against the idea of Christians judging each other, and it should be just, you know, that's something that when you deal with in the afterlife, when you judgment day, when you meet God, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that leads to sort of like where Christian churches even have been taken over, commandeered by the LGBTQ and all that type of stuff. And I think a lot of that comes from that teaching of Christianity, where it's, well, we ought not to judge each other.
Right.
That's between him and God.
That's
and
communism.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's
exactly.
a satanic twisting of the scripture, which Satan himself did with Jesus. Satan himself used misapplied the Bible. There was no Bible at the time, but the scripture stuff that was written, saying, "Hey, Jesus, jump off this cliff, because God said he will not let the angels won't let your foot strike the rock." And Jesus is like, don't, you're not supposed to test God. I'm not going to do that, basically.
Right, right.
So,
I have a belief that, sorry, go ahead.
So that's an example of this Satan's children misquoting Paul, misapplying Paul's message about judgment. Because I agree with Paul there. I think that the righteous judgment is still like implied, because he's judging them for judging the one another wrongly. So he's judging them, right?
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah, you're right. So maybe he did, or either that, or he was being a little bit hypocritical at that point.
But that's hypocrisy and for Christ.
I mean, I don't know. Is lying for Jesus a good thing? I you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But my point being is that he could have just been hypocritical at the point, because we're all human beings and we're not perfect.
Right.
So he might have not realized, or he was judging in all of those letters.
Right.
He was judging the church.
Definitely.
The time.
Yeah.
And I love that he did that.
Me too. I was about to say, I forget what I was going to say, but That's pretty beautiful, man. I like that point.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Judge righteously.
It's a mildly attractive point.
Indeed. Now, let's plow through some of these topics because we're coming to the bottom of the hour already, and I have calls who want to talk to you. White people are embracing white victimhood. I love this point.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sadly. And I sort of predicted this just because of, you know, I did this. I forget the guy's name, the guy who wrote the Dilbert comics.
Scott Adams.
Scott Adams.
He's been on JLP a couple of times, The Fallen State and the Jason Lee Peterson Show.
Yeah, yeah. And he did the video because I did a video that it wasn't okay to be white. And my point was that whiteness and blackness, we talked about this before, whiteness and blackness were just sort of made up terms to categorize people. There's no real culture or anything attached to that. You know what I mean? It's the same thing of going, all right, these are blue-eyed people, these are brown-eyed people.
Yeah, different. People are different, and whites are naturally more individual.
Right.
Generally.
And the difference that we have, like when we talk about things like crime and we talk about the way people behave, we're talking about cultures. You know what I mean? Because there's different types of black people that come from different types of cultures. We talk about that a lot of times. So I saw this happening where white people were going to start getting very sensitive about whiteness because it worked with black people. It's going to work with white people.
No, sir.
Psychologically.
Yeah.
It's like gang mentality. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to give you an anecdotal story to start this real quick.
Okay.
I had a friend of mine. This is what made me realize it, where he was looking for work. White guy. Very nice guy. Very respectable. The whole nine. He's very educated. All that. And I go, oh, well, let me get you. I got this place I can get you a job. Let me just, you know, talk to some people. And his answer to me was, that's kind of a left-leaning company. I'm a straight white male. They're not going to hire me. Right?
Yeah. That's the wrong mindset.
Yes. And I looked at him and I was like, so you're not even going to try? Like, you're just going to let, you're going to let the liberals screw your head over and you're not going to try now. Right? And it's, I think there's this mentality where white people are playing the victim. They're enjoying being the victim, where it's I'm a straight white male, I'm not gonna get this, or they're gonna fire me if I say this. My thing to that I say to a lot of people, because I do this myself, I'm not just talking on the internet. Actually I am, but I'm open about who I am and me being a Trump supporter, and I work for a left-leaning company.
Nice.
However, I speak out and I take the risk because it's that important to me. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of these people who will go, oh, this, like, for instance, Kid Rock just signed a deal. Or no, it wasn't Kid Rock. It was, I think, Dana White signed a deal with Bud Light. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bud Light's trying to revamp whatever. And people go,
Bud Light got in trouble for the transgender sponsorship.
Right.
And so everybody boycotted them, but Dana White has long had a deal with them, and he re-signed a deal, apparently, or something.
Re-signed the deal with them, and supposedly Bud Light is actually trying to revamp and go the other way now. I don't know if I believe it or not. I don't drink beer, so I don't care.
But nice.
I get the cultural fight in that, you know what I mean? My thing is that when people go off and go, oh, well, he signed a deal, so he's selling out for money. I think if you go to work every day and you sell out on your morals and you say, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to get fired, you're doing the same thing. You're selling out on your morals for a paycheck. And it's actually worse because you're doing it for minimum wage or less money.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? I take the risk every day. I have people that come in my comments. I did a video on Trump, and we'll probably get to this later. I can get to it now, actually, where I think Trump is sort of pandering to black people a little too much.
Yeah.
It's starting to make me a little like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still love Trump. I'm still a Trump supporter. I'm still wearing the hat, you know?
Right.
But I did a video on that, and I had a bunch of white people and, you know, white black people too, but going off on me about like how I'm a Biden supporter and I'm like, what do you like?
Biden is so pandering to the nth degree. Trump is doing it a little bit too much.
Yeah, and
I agree, and too much. But Biden is like off the deep end. It's crazy. Go ahead.
Right. And they're going like he should be pandering to black people. And I'm like, terrible. I don't understand this like thought. And I think it's like people are so caught up in this racial argument that they're not even thinking like logically anymore. But we'll get back to that Trump thing later. I'm just saying like,
so you're not necessarily popping off at the mouth at work doing your regular job, but you're speaking your mind on the internet and unafraid of being doxxed or whatever.
I'll give you an example. I'll give you a couple examples. I look at it like this, like when you're arguing with a liberal on YouTube, right? You see how like sometimes it's almost fun because they're so goofy and they have no logic. Like you could almost start playing with them.
Yeah.
I do the same exact thing when I'm arguing with corporate heads at my job, because I know they're a bunch of liberal idiots that, you know, got out of college and paid all this money to become educated, but they actually don't have any experience and they don't know what they're doing. They need guys like me. You get what I'm saying? I've been in the workforce. I got kicked out of high school and got in the workforce at 17. Yeah. I started my own businesses. I made money on my own. I did it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't worry about any of that stuff. I'm like, I think if more people just took that risk and stood up to these companies, because these companies are so scared of lawsuits and civil suits that we can also take advantage of, that we don't, because again, we want to play the victim, and a lot of white people want to play the victim. I tell them all the time at my job, if you feel like they're messing with you because you're a white guy, make a complaint to the corporate office and threaten that you're going to start a civil suit.
Wow.
See nice. How quick they change. I've done it.
Yeah.
I did this thing where they can't, I was in the workforce when the whole DEI thing happened. So I kind of have that advantage over my generation, because I was in the workforce way earlier than a lot of them.
Okay.
And there was this big initiative. Women are the greatest. We're going to put women in charge. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I started seeing it little by little, and they were starting to hire way more women.
Yeah.
And the job that I was in was, you know, it was kind of physical. Like, you had to be physical, and women couldn't do it. Also, women didn't want to work machinery.
Yeah.
And that's part of the job. So I was the only one doing all that stuff. So they kept coming at me for little pesky nonsense, you know. So I went to the corporate office and I argued that I was being treated with sexism. I was the only man. I was being pulled away from my job because no women were wanting to do it. They would always call me because I'm the only man. And I won that case.
Right on, man.
They had to start hiring more men.
Yeah.
And that's just one person doing that.
And you didn't inwardly feel victimized necessarily, or did you? But you stood up for yourself and used their rules against them.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And nice. That's the funny thing about this whole thing, is that when you realize DEI and liberals are running the world, they don't have any instincts. They don't have experience.
That's cool.
They're not competent. They need us, because the one thing that I always like knew was that liberals could never touch me on my work ethic.
Yeah.
And that's true. Because I don't feel victimized. I don't feel like I should be at a better place or whatever. I could feel that way, but I can't feel that way until I do really great at this job first.
Yeah.
At the bottom. You get what I mean?
That's awesome, man.
So I'm just trying to give, again, white people, white men specifically, the understand, you do have something to fight with. Don't give up.
Right.
Don't be. And here's the funny thing, is I've been catching myself calling white men the N-word too. That's the way I've just been dealing with it.
Yeah. Like
you might as well be. You might as well be.
They're turning in. That's so true. It's happening. I see it happening. I've talked with this white, supposedly white, incel guy who was on my show several years ago, or a few years ago anyway, named Brendio EEE. He refused to go into getting a trucking job because trucking was going to go out of business. And I remember him saying he can't get, you know, incels naturally have this victim mindset. Women won't choose me. But he said that he couldn't get jobs because he's white and a man. But you can get a job as a white man. It's just, I know that there is discrimination against white men, But you can get a job. There's always opportunities. You can get a job. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I say, like, look, I'm not being arrogant. I know one day I'm going to be on the chopping block.
Yeah.
I'm going to maybe say something that somebody's going to bring up, and I'm going to fight it as much as I can.
Right.
I'm not going to quit. They're going to have to fire me for that.
Yeah.
And my thing is that I'll be fine. I've always been fine. Since I was 17, I've been able to support myself. I've started businesses.
Nice.
Worked in the music industry. That's like a very unpromised kind of thing, and made money doing that. Like, you're going to be fine if you just have the balls to
Sorry,
stand
kids.
Up for yourself.
Ladies. But yeah, you're right. You're so right, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, I'm just saying, stop with that mentality, because it's the same thing that destroyed the Black community.
Chin
you're
going to
start leaving your families. You're going to start
yeah,
putting your women on welfare. It's going to happen. I guarantee it.
Yeah. And different people are like, oh, we'll never get to be as bad as the Blacks. The Blacks have low IQ. Well, anger, and that's what this is. This victimhood is anger, and emotionalism and defeatism is debilitating to your IQ or your psyche. I have this.
And why do you argue to be worse?
Right.
If I'm being treated worse and it makes me better, treat me worse then.
Yeah.
And that's what actually made me better. That's what made me a great worker. So, you know, I get things like this too, though. Like, for instance, like equal pay is what I think ruined the workforce, because when I was doing more than everybody else, I didn't mind because I was actually getting paid more than everybody else.
Oh, okay.
But then when they made it equal, I was like, well, now I'm an idiot if I do everything. I said, no, we have to train everybody to do the same thing I do now.
Nice. You're bringing people up to your level, so rather than diminishing the quality of your work, because, yeah, that's what socialism does, which is the equal pay thing. It punishes productivity. But I'm glad that you didn't fall for you didn't let it kill your spirit and your work ethic. You made everybody else better. That's cool, man.
I try to.
Yeah.
So it's, but then
of course,
you know,
yeah. There's you're not going to be
a bunch of liberals.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But if you
and then now it's white victims.
Yeah. What a
like,
shame.
Ugh,
that's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. I have some calls that I want to get to, Krishan, the Don
yeah,
over
ahead.
Here. Alex in California is on the line. Alex, thank you for calling and holding. You're live with Krishan, the Don, and Hake.
Hey, Hake, and Krishan, nice to see you there.
Hello, sir.
I came in a little bit late. You guys are talking about Paul.
Yes.
The Bible and all that stuff. Okay, so the other week, I was visiting with my parents, and they are hardcore liberal Methodists.
Oh.
And
like Hillary Clinton. I think Hillary Clinton is a Methodist and a liberal.
We were having a conversation about, I was bringing up that, you know, Christianity is seemingly under attack in this country, or at least it's, you know, it's not popular. And I was like, what did Jesus do that people hate so much? Like, why do people hate Jesus so much? And their answer was, it wasn't what Jesus did, it was what Paul did. And I haven't really finished the Bible. It's that King James English is very annoying to me, hard to read. So I'm working on the English Standard Version. I'm on the book Isaiah right now, so I have a ways to go. But I don't remember anything about Paul so far, and could you maybe tell me what Paul did that would anger hardcore liberal Methodists?
I know what Paul did. He said that he doesn't allow a woman to preach or speak. She must remain silent. She shouldn't be over men. That's one of the things that Paul did. He said that homosexuality is wrong and you won't inherit the kingdom of heaven or something like that. So a hardcore liberal Methodist would not like Paul for those reasons.
That's so interesting, because it's such basic stuff. But to me, like, that's real right there. That's true, or, you know, that's the truth or whatever. Christianity in general has been kind of a tough thing for me to, I don't know how to explain this. It's hard when I see every group of Christians arguing with each other about it. Nobody seems to think, you know, everyone thinks they're right and everybody else is wrong. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like, I don't really know who to follow too much. That's why I'm just trying to read the Bible. But I do like what you and Jesse say.
Yeah, you shouldn't follow. You shouldn't follow anybody. See for yourself, and admit when you don't know. I think that's the best.
Yeah, to me, like growing up with Methodist parents, you know, they had like gay people in the church and black people in the church, and it was just, it was weird to me. I was like, this doesn't seem like real church. Like I thought church had rules and all this stuff. And now that you just said that that's what Paul was saying, those are the rules that I like. So I think whoever, who I guess who follows Paul, what Christian group follows Paul?
I thought that most Christians liked Paul. I didn't know that there was, I thought that almost practically all Christians liked Paul because, you know, he wrote most of the New Testament. Only recently, only in the past several years have I realized that feminists hate Paul, and now there's some conservative Christian men who also discount Paul.
Well, I get the feeling that it's more of like where they like to point at the Bible and say that it's a hateful book and all that stuff. Yeah. I think it was just when people started asking, like, all right, give me some examples. They just had to find some examples, and Paul was probably the top one to go for.
Yeah.
so, yeah, I think it's just as simple as that. I don't think they think too far into it.
So it's basically just modern liberal issues that they're mad about.
That's my impression. I haven't talked with liberal Methodists before. I know that some of them, some liberals, so-called Christians, preachers, have been on the Jesse Lee Peterson show when I was producer and before I was producer and since. But I haven't heard a whole lot of this Paul talk, honestly. I've read Christian feminists and Christian equality, whatever they are, egalitarians.
Notice, they have a hard time, even the liberals, they have a hard time like trying to demonize Jesus.
True. They just co-opt Jesus, turn him into a socialist feminist.
There you go. They turn him into a hippie.
With the Methodist is, I feel like there's no point to it. It's not a real church. If you're just going to blaspheme, you know, the rules like that.
Yeah.
And it's like a little club you go to on Sunday where everybody can come in. All the gays, all the gangsta blacks, it's all good. Everybody can come in. There's no hell. You know, you could be gay. Like, I'm like, this isn't church, man. Like, I respect, like, Muslims way more than that because they go by the book, like, to the T, you know? That's the kind of people. I'm not Muslim. I'm not into that stuff. But I'm into a type of person who, you know, follows their book to a T, you know?
They have discipline.
I don't really have the same perspective because, you know, you guys are, I would call, real Christians. I've only grown up, you know, around Methodists. So.
And what part of the country was this? What part of the country did you grow up Methodist?
I'm in kind of the middle of California, like San Jose right now.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, basically, I know that the Methodists they're very hateful towards evangelical conservatives. And I just think it's just so dumb in general because it's like, you guys want to be Christians or whatever, but you don't even really follow the rules that God has set down and you don't even respect Jesus. You don't really truly believe in God. It's like, what are you guys doing?
I think that they've gone the woman's way, the mama spirit way, the emotional, just like what Krishan was talking about with judgment, the emotional anti-judgment. They'll judge the people who are judging righteously and then not judge the people who are judging and living unrighteously.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Would you believe me that they have the fish on the sign, and the fish has the gay flag in it?
Oh, I have not seen that.
Oh, jeez.
Mental image.
Can you believe that?
Nothing surprises me that much. We shouldn't be surprised.
I mean, like, just me telling you that, like, you guys know that that's just absurd. So when I'm walking down the street and I pass that church and I see that, it's just like, bro, you guys are literally, it's almost like putting my tinfoil hat on. It's almost like the CIA trying to do something silly with these churches or something.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed,
Satan,
like,
for sure. Go ahead.
Because I was in the church like pretty heavily. I used to be a Christian rapper. I used to be part of a group and all that stuff.
Nice.
Like maybe early 2000s, around that time. And I noticed that's when sort of the homosexuality thing started creeping in.
Oh, wow.
And to what he was saying, I don't remember the caller's name, but
Alex and Callie.
Alex, yes. There was always gay people in the church.
Yeah.
But it's when the preachers stopped preaching from the Bible about how homosexuality is a sin and all that stuff. Like where they were basically removing that part of the Bible became the problem, because they were always preaching that, and the idea was like, hopefully we'll get to the gay person and, you know,
yeah,
make
I think
them
it,
understand.
It was, I never saw gays in any of the churches that I went to. I went to Christian, conservative, normal churches that were mostly white, but I do know that they were always in like the black churches, in the choirs and stuff like that. That's what I heard anyway. And
that's
they seemed
fair.
To
I
be
did go to a black church.
They seemed to be in the university Christian crowd, because I went to Azusa Pacific University, and there was a lot of I don't know what they were, but they certainly seemed effeminate in their demeanor, and there was like this controversy in liberalism that went more towards feminism, anti-racism, and LGBT mess. So
yeah, my parents have a LGBT female preacher,
and the entertainment world, even the Christian so-called entertainment, singing, dancing, all that stuff, that world is filled, whether it's Christian or not, with people who are twisted in those ways. And in it's a more liberal world. Like I said, all musicians are liberals.
Except for me.
Nice. Well, I don't know, man.
I don't know. I was more creative when I was a liberal.
Right.
But it's because I didn't know anything. So you kind of just make things up.
Yeah.
I might not be working on a death metal version of the Hake Report.
Right on, man. I'm looking forward to it. Use that liberalism while you're young. Use that talent, liberal musical talent while you're young. Because when you're old and conservative and repentant, your music sticks. You're over the hill.
Yeah. It does.
Well, I'll let you guys go, but I definitely want to call you again soon, maybe on a Bible Thump of Thursday, because I want to get to the bottom of who the quote-unquote right group of Christians are, because it's tough watching all you guys argue about stuff.
Right on. That sounds great. Yeah. Appreciate you, Alex and Callie. Take care.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you, Alex.
You too. Bye. Wow. Steve in Illinois is on the line. He's been on hold for a long time. Steve, thank you for calling and holding. You're live with Krishan the Don and Hake.
Steven. Hey. Good morning, guys.
Morning to you. Afternoon for Krishan, I believe, right?
Yep.
Nice. Almost Florida? Morning. Are you in Florida?
Yeah. Florida, baby.
Nice.
Greatest state in the union.
I do appreciate
it. Dude. Yeah, my brother-in-law is in Florida, dude. Or my half-brother, my fault. My half-brother's in Tampa. But yeah, so I was just calling you guys to ask your opinions on Paul's perspective of speaking in tongues, and I just wanted to see what you guys, what your thoughts on, well, not really thoughts, but you know, your take on it was, because you know, a lot of people, I guess a lot of the church today, or most of the churches that I had like kind of take looks at, are a little bit skittish about it, you know. But
yeah.
I figured I would see what your guys' takes on it were. I really think, you know, I believe in it wholeheartedly, dude. I was Pentecostal for the majority of my youth, so like I'm like totally into it. And
to this day, you believe in it wholeheartedly?
Absolutely, dude. Oh my God, dude. Oh, absolutely, sir.
You believe in speaking in tongues?
Yes, sir.
And what's Paul's view on speaking in tongues? Is it that it should be orderly and there should be a translator, or what is it?
You know what? That's awesome that you're mentioning that. I thought about that the other day, and that to me was his way of doing it. But since Christ said, or I mean, I think he also said, where there's freedom, there's Jesus there. That would mean that, you know, according to your relationship with him, your interpretation of it, I guess, might have a say into that, into who interpreted. Like, your own you have your own set of interpretation mechanics in your body, so I'm like, that's kind of how I look at it, you know? Yeah, for the tongues.
You can interpret the tongues in your body, but you can't necessarily express those the interpretation like of those tongues in words. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You just have a feeling?
Kind of. Yeah, because you're not always going to have people around you. You know how, like, privacy is totally overrated now or whatever, underrated? And, like, privacy basically doesn't exist in this country much of anymore?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, so if that's the case, then why do we need the validity of another man or woman or whatever they want to call themselves? Why should that be there to identify with how we approach God with our mouths, you know what I'm saying? Or like how we address our king, dude. So like, I was just thinking, you know, like maybe mention this to you guys, dude, and see how your take on it was. Because, dude, I'm wholeheartedly like, devoted Christian man, and I believe a lot of what Paul said was true, regardless of his positioning in the word. So I
understand correctly. You're saying that it's like basically a direct language to God kind of thing. Directly speaking to God.
You're welcome.
He's doing a side conversation right now.
Sorry. Yeah. I was just
very rude.
So Krishan, the Don is asking, is tongues your own personal language to God? Then is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's. I would probably. Yeah. I would agree with Krishan, dude. Yeah. Absolutely.
He wasn't agreeing with you. He was just clarifying. That's what you think.
I was asking.
Yeah, he was asking.
I heard that, and I agree with Krishan that that's like just another connective, I guess, form of communication with him, you know?
Do you think
because
maybe...
there's times where it peaks, and there's times where I got lows where I don't even open my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I barely open my mouth at all, so...
Oh, so you... Sorry, I might have missed it, but you said you've spoken in tongues yourself.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. I see.
I don't really have much
as far as tongues, but yeah. I always saw it like, if I were to give you my honest opinion, I always saw it as like sort of like those, you know, those shows where the preacher will put his hand on somebody and now I could walk. I could walk again.
Yeah.
I always felt kind of performative in that aspect of almost like, hey, look at me. I'm the best Christian ever.
Yeah,
so
I could be
being judgmental and not righteously judging. So I don't know. But if he's saying he speaks in tongues and he felt something, and who am I to say? I don't know.
I mean, people feel things though all the time, and it's not necessarily the Holy Spirit that they're feeling. And I think a lot of people fool themselves or play along or make something up, and then they attribute it to the Holy Spirit, and it's not necessarily that. I don't have an opinion on a big opinion really on this tongues thing, but I don't agree with being all into it. I've been to places where these people are going, just shouting out in the middle of these meetings, these Christian meetings when I was in high school. And then and I had like a friend of the family having us all speaking in tongues. I was like 5 years old and they said, just say something. And so I'm like, gooda, 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 gooda. And so that was my tongue.
Right.
I literally said gooda. Good.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's tongues. It's maybe harmless, I guess. But
it's the effort that counted, dude. Like, and maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to relate to that because I was nervous doing it the first time too, dude. And I was like, probably, I was like 12 years old, 13.
Yeah.
And I was raised around, you know, the normative American, you know, Sandlot style kind of upbringing. And you look around.
Oh, so you weren't raised
for your response.
So you weren't raised Pentecostal until you were like 12?
I was introduced into like Christianity with Pentecostal, like the Pentecostal church. And they were, dude, we sang to God, dude. I mean, we still do. I mean, I believe they, you know, they're still around, but. Yeah, that's where I was at, dude. Yeah. And
so it's something you you force it out? I always thought it was something that came to you, like it struck
it's
you.
It's like, I mean, you know what it is, dude? Honestly, you guys, I think it's something spiritual, because there's just times where, like I said, I mean, it gets so low in my life, I don't want to even utter anything out, dude. Like, I mean, I'm talking like some
because
long,
you're
de- long
because you're depressed.
It's not a depression. It's more like
you said you low.
Yeah,
a
yeah,
low
yeah.
mood, so low energy, and it sounds like another word. What some people call depression. I agree with you. Yeah. I don't like calling it depression, but it's, you get low in life.
It's probably, yeah, it's a lower, yeah, lower, I guess, mode of.
So then the joy of the Lord is not your strength at that point?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, dude.
So then
without,
I don't know
without,
if you should,
without the tongues.
Because,
well, not
and you can barely utter a tongue.
Yeah, well, it's because have you guys ever thought of it like, you look for, you try to see how things react for, like, affirmation or something? Like, when you try to, you look for somebody's response. And so.
Oh, you look for comfort in others? Like a comforting word from others?
Yes, sir, dude. Yeah, you nailed it, dude. Yes, sir.
That's not what we should be looking for.
Yeah, it almost seems like too. Go ahead.
Well, it's not that I look for it, dude. It's just sometimes it does, like, it excites me, and I get more eager to spread the joy of the Lord, dude. You know, because I mean, like, we're supposed to be charitable.
I think you're calling it.
Jesus.
I think you're calling it joy of the Lord when you don't actually know that that's the joy of the Lord. That's emotions. I think that's my impression, man. That's emotions. I don't think that tongues is what the modern interpretation people say that it is.
Well, I don't think you could say that it's like it's a thing, like a personal connection between you and God, and then it's more of like getting a reaction from the people around you. That's more performative than it is. And look, I mean, it's like the question me and Hake quickly talked about it, like lying for Jesus. It's like,
you're right.
Is that okay? I don't know. I think it probably wouldn't be.
I don't
That's
think
so
it's
crazy, dude.
You said it's the so effort. Crazy. You said it's the effort that counts, Steve, in Illinois, but the Bible says that it doesn't depend on man's effort. So the effort doesn't count for squat.
It doesn't matter.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Jelly bean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know, yeah, you have to find, I think why Hake was asking you about depression is it's more like you have to find like he's saying it's more of the joy of God than it is the ritual.
Dude. Yeah,
the ritual,
my wife was saying the same thing, dude. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
My wife said something about that too, is like, you know, because I sometimes isolate myself in a lot of my life.
You what? She's like, slight yourself?
I isolate, like.
Isolate yourself.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sometimes I find myself like wanting to be away from people instead of like going out and trying.
The way that Jesus did, or because you're feeling oppressed by all the people? Because Jesus went off and prayed by early in the morning by himself.
Yeah. And that's where I agree with you, Hank, dude.
Wait,
what?
Yeah, like Jesus
you
can't stand people?
Yeah, absolutely with Jesus.
But how do you know that it was like Jesus? I shouldn't have put that word in your mouth. Because you sound like you're an emotional person. Look. And your wife, what does your wife say about you isolating yourself from others?
She says that I should maybe look for God in others instead of trying to correct them more so with my perspective on God.
Oh, so you're like, so you go and correct people and you correct people with your perspective on God because they're wrong?
This is so difficult to explain, dude.
You know why it's difficult to explain? Because you're listening to your wife.
And because I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because he's trying to explain something his wife told him.
Yeah,
and
true.
That's not what, like, we don't think that way.
Yeah, this you're not supposed to listen to her.
I'll give you my advice. Is strip yourself down to the simple things in life. Like, now I just enjoy little things like playing with my dog, looking at the sky. You know what I mean? I enjoy a nice day that's the weather is, like, still and beautiful. Like, you got to strip yourself down to just the simple things in life. Stop.
Yes, sir.
crowding your mind with all this nonsense and all this emotional stuff. Men aren't programmed to do that.
Yeah.
So
you're descending into emotions, man. You're descending into emotions, and you don't have perfect peace. Sounds like.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're leaning on this tongues all passionately, and you've been nice to us. You're not like bashing us over the head with it, but it sounds like you're relying on this so-called tongues thing, and I don't think that you really know what you're talking about truly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when Paul said, dude, I speak it more than anybody does, when he says that in the Bible, dude, and I mean, like, I mean, if I'm
yeah, I remember Paul said
myself,
that. I remember Paul did say, "I speak tongues more than all y'all."
See, you see what I'm saying?
Except he's not
so,
black.
So honestly, dude,
I stay speaking
like,
tongues.
I mean,
but
I
you don't
really
know what it
know,
means. I don't think.
Well, why would that be? If you know,
because
I
Christians are deceived. You well know that most of the Christian church is deceived. So why wouldn't you be part deceived too?
Well, it's because the deception comes when the thought occurs on it, dude. Like,
yeah, and you have all thoughts.
You know
you're
saying?
In your thoughts.
So I'm not thinking about it. I was just expressing my opinion on it. But now I'm getting bombarded with the, you know, well, I don't know what I'm talking about. Yet, I have had this relationship, you know, over the years since my youth. And it says, you know, like, you train away, not the Bible says that, but like, you train a kid or a child in a way they usually hold on to it for the rest of their life, you know. So, I get your understanding.
You're
of
supposed
it, dude.
To put. You're supposed to grow up and to be a man, though. Again, you don't want to feel bombarded. You feel bombarded by us just because I said that I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just sounded kind of offensive, but again, it's not of emotion. That's the emotional side.
Yeah, see, you're being emotional because I'm not criticizing. I'm not bashing you.
Okay.
You got to get out of these emotions, man.
Yeah.
Well, you
got
to understand.
You're right.
Too.
I agree with you, dude.
We're Christian brothers. We just have a disagreement. Go ahead.
Amen, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. When you get to
grateful for
when
you
get to
dude.
A point. Sorry, let me just say this. When you get to a point where you're trying to explain something that somebody else told you and you're like, I can't get it out. I don't understand. It's because you don't actually believe that point. Like, it's got to be something that actually resonated with you. You're just trying to. Again, don't take this as defensive or anything, but you're just trying to like convince us something that you convinced yourself that you believe. And I think
right,
it's 'cause,
you're right, dude. Absolutely, yeah. Dude. You guys got it. I mean, I get it. I get it now, dude.
It's great it's talking just, with you, Steve. I got to move on,
yeah,
but
Steve,
call us again, man.
All right, guys. Yeah, thanks, man, for taking me. And you guys have an awesome one, dude. And,
JLP,
yeah, rock on, dude.
Last quick point before you hang up, Steve. JLP says that the stuff that he's doing when he's speaking the truth, and the darkness doesn't understand the truth, he's speaking in tongues. So he's speaking perfect English, giving these points, and those with ears to hear, they hear, and those who don't have ears to hear, they do not hear. That's speaking in tongues, according to JLP. Something to consider.
Oh, wow. Yeah, thank you, man.
Thank
yeah,
you.
So
appreciate
much.
You. Take care, man.
All right, guys.
Thanks,
take care.
Steve.
Yeah, all right. Take it easy. All right, bye-bye.
A first-time caller, Skrill, from Florida, is on the line with Krishan, the Don, and Hake. Thanks for calling, Skrill.
Hang up on this guy.
Of course. What's going on, gentlemen? Good afternoon. Blessings to you both.
Thank you, man.
Good show, as always, Hake. You know, I wanted to call in to touch base on this tongue thing. You know, I grew up I went to an island church. You know, most of my church were Jamaican, just like my family.
Ah, so you're just
a lot of the elders.
You're Jamaican, just like Krishan.
Yeah,
By the way, everybody, this is my co-host, Skrill.
Skrill is a co-host of Misfit Nation, guys. He's on the line here.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. The jury's still out on Chris being Jamaican. He can really talk it, but you know he just doesn't look the part.
he has the name.
Outside of that,
and the dreads.
The jury's still out on that too.
Okay.
But when the elders, you know, because it was mostly just the elders, the elder woman, I should say, when they would feel like, I guess you would call it the spirit, they would go into that mode and they would talk in the tongues. We're talking about older ladies who had trouble walking and are on the stage like almost dancing. You know what I mean? So I think there is something to it, but I also do think it's performative. I think it's performative for God. It's not performative for the people in the church, but it is, in a sense, allowing God to sort of take you over, and then from whatever happens from then, kind of just happens, if that makes sense.
Could it be demons taking them over, and they're performing, they think it's to God?
Well, see, that's a good question. How would I know that, Hank?
Yeah. Could
who
it be, though?
Who are they performing for? That's the that's the real question.
They're dancing and, like God David danced before the Lord.
But does God want us to perform for him, or is it like... I don't know.
Well, I think performing for him is part of, like, he wants us to praise him and hold him in reverence. And, you know, part of that is, and you know, I'm talking crazy. I haven't been to church in quite some time, but you know, part of fellowship is going to church and being with your fellow men. Now, yeah. I don't know if being like speaking in tongues is a natural thing. I just don't know, but I know. The older ladies in my church, they did it. It looked natural when they did it. It looked like every other day. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
you grew up with it. It was normal.
I didn't think they were liars.
Oh, okay. Yeah. When they were not filled with, you could tell. Go ahead.
You could tell when somebody is like lying. Like they're not really into it. Like, you know, this person's not really the one. But then Sister Maggie in the corner. Sister Maggie don't hurt nobody. You know Sister Maggie, all her life she's this sweet. The Spirit of God dwells within her. So if she were to break out in tongues, I believe it.
Yeah, but Skrill, some people are better actors than others. It depends on
Were these old ladies who were decrepit and couldn't hardly move unless they were filled with this the quote unquote spirit, were they mean when in normal everyday life ever?
No.
Were they never unchristian?
They were never mean. They were okay. Always not. Even because, you know, we were kids growing up in church. So
did you know them Did you know them outside of church?
Yeah, absolutely. We were kids growing up because, you know, part of the church was not only would we go to church, if somebody died, we'd fellowship with them. We'd go to other people's houses and fellowship with them outside of church. So. Yeah. We built a relationship with that, and this way, like, we were knuckleheads, and sometimes we deserve to get really like wrung out, and she just never did it. She always treated us with love and respect.
Would you feel?
So I gotta believe.
Is there anything in you that would feel bad if you thought or considered that they were mistaken or wrong?
I mean, I wouldn't feel bad. We're all human at the end of the day.
Yeah.
If they were doing something that they believed was right in the eyes of the Lord, and then when they got to meet the Lord, and the Lord was like, hey, you know, I'm going to let you in, but we got to talk about that because I didn't really like it, uh-huh. Then that's something different. But
what if he didn't let them
but,
in?
You know, I don't... No, then that's okay, well... That's
I mean, bad. I don't think that the tongues is going to be a major deciding factor. My personal impression is it's just a one thing that people get into of many things that people get into. Thinking that they're looking for the right thing.
Is it possible? Because I've noticed a common denominator here is Skrill, and I've seen this myself, is that Skrill saying that he's seen mostly women doing it.
Yeah, good point.
Steve said his wife was trying to get him.
You
think there's a thing to that?
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I remember you mentioned that earlier, and yes, I totally agree. However, there were men that would do it too. But the men would do it differently. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like the women would be on the stage falling out, going crazy, but the men would just be in the pews speaking tongues, but their tongues were more calm. Their tongues reminded you of like a calm stream, when the tongues of the women reminded you of a waterfall.
That's true. I remember the men doing it better than the women too.
If you think about it, though, that kind of matches up with...
That could be good.
I know. I disavow. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about tongues, speaking in tongues.
But if you look at it, it matches up with the way that men and women, like, naturally we get attention. Because that's what I think this is all about, is it's attention. Is women like to jump up and scream and get attention. Men like to kind of chill back and be cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it's all about attention, to be honest. That's where I'll settle my point.
Okay. Okay. Listen, I don't know. We might not never know. Are the people that speak in tongues looking for attention, or are they closer to God? Only God can really answer that. I want to see it, but it's not quite yet. I'm not ready.
It's great to hear from you, Skrill. Appreciate you, man.
Yes. Hey, thank you. Hey, Skriller. Call me. Good work, Chris. Yeah. Sean. Appreciate you. Misfit Nation, I'm out.
Call anytime, man. Take care.
Thank you, bro. By the way, we'll be doing a show tonight, later on tonight, on our channel.
Right on. Your channel is Misfit Nation.
Misfit Nation. The Misfit Nation.
Oh, The YouTube. Misfit Nation on YouTube. Sir. Yes, sir. Let me paste that into the links here.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Okay. Before I get back to calls, I do have calls to get to. I'm skipping the break music, guys. I'm skipping the break music. Let's talk the right-wingers becoming gullible on conspiracy theories. I want to get to this stuff, all of your topics, before we lose time.
I've been finding it like it's getting harder to have reasonable debates with right-wingers these days. And I find it to be, I'll give you a couple examples first, because this is where I started to notice it was like very recently. Not notice it, but this is where I said it on my show. Do you remember when Killer Mike got arrested?
I heard about it at the Grammys or something, right? Some type of awards.
Some award show, some hibbity hop award show. And basically he got arrested and people were going, oh, it's the deep state going after him because he wouldn't endorse Joe Biden in an interview with Bill Maher, right? So basically I'm like, looking at this and I'm like, I don't think this is what it is, guys. You guys are, you guys are crazy.
Yeah.
First off, I watched the interview because I went back and watched it, and literally the entire interview, he wouldn't endorse Joe Biden, but he didn't say anything that was outside of the progressive liberal agenda. Nothing to get arrested for. Also, his answer for why he wouldn't say whether or not he would endorse Joe Biden was, I'm just going to stay out of white folk business. That was the answer he gave.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm like, all right, this is not some kind of like heavy stance that the right wing is crediting him for, right?
Yeah.
So turns out, Killer Mike was actually arrested because he assaulted a security guard at the event, trying to push through the door and skip the weapons checks, right? He didn't spend any time in jail because the police chief basically protected him the whole time. And you know probably why.
Yeah.
He was allowed to do the award show. The agreement that he had with the chief was that he just had to get arrested after the award show. So in my opinion, this sounds nothing like deep state going after this guy. It sounds more like deep state protecting this guy.
Yeah.
If anything.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So another one was Taylor Swift.
Before we get to Taylor Swift, that goes straight to your thing about all these whites being so-called conservatives being all over eager to accept any black who's not full-blown liberal. Oh,
right.
Our guy. He's our guy. Give me
a
break.
It's like a black guy could, like a Killer Mike could just say, he didn't even say, I don't like Biden. He just said, I'm not going to endorse him because he needs to do more stuff for the black community. Which, by the way, what else could be done for the black community? Right?
We do too much for them.
Too much. Way too much. And that's the problem.
Yep.
It's like, I just don't understand how then that goes from that to like very prominent right wingers in media going to, Is the left losing Killer Mike?
Oh, Lord.
Is the deep state going after Killer Mike? Is this what we've come to? And it's like, no.
Is Killer Mike a rapper or something like that?
He's a rapper.
And like, he's a 2A, Second Amendment. Is he a Second Amendment type of a guy?
He,
somewhat black guns matter type of a guy or something like that?
I guess so. That might be one of the only reasonable things. I mean, okay. He has a couple reasonable ideas.
Right.
Like, he protected... Or stood up for Candace Owens during that debate where he's, stood up to the black coalition.
Right.
So, I mean, he does some things that, you know, it's cool. But I'm just saying for us to give that credit to the situation, it seems desperate. And I don't think we need to do that because we have so much content to go off of already. And I was going to bring up the Taylor Swift thing.
Yeah, go for it.
About her endorsing Biden at the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And then it gets to the
which
point
she didn't
where
do, but there was a theory that she was going to or something
that
like
that. That she didn't do, right? Yeah, exactly. Which is the whole point, is that she didn't do it.
Yeah.
But the whole theory eventually, like, snowballed into the NFL is rigging the entire game so that her boyfriend's team wins.
Right.
So that she can later endorse Joe Biden on camera at the Super Bowl. And it's like, I'm not against the idea that the NFL is rigging games.
Uh-huh.
But to that extent where, like, just to get her to do that one little thing, like, first off, Taylor Swift already endorsed Joe Biden in the past.
Did she?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Democrats openly came out and said, we would love Taylor Swift to endorse us.
Right.
Which defeats the entire point of her doing it because it's supposed to look like she did it on her own.
Right.
It's like they blew the whole
thing. Yeah, the liberals were making fun of us conservatives who were, well, I wasn't doing it, but they were making fun of the conspiracy theories of the right-wing losers.
Yeah, yeah. And it does look stupid because it's there. This is what I think it comes from. It comes from that generation that we all kind of grew up on, Alex Jones. And Alex Jones became known as a conspiracy theorist. Here's the funny thing, though. Alex Jones was never a conspiracy theorist. He wasn't making things up and then ended up being right. He told us every time. I was a huge Alex Jones fan.
Uh-huh.
He told us all the time, I have really good sources telling me all this.
Yeah.
This is my top level of sources in the military, in the government. He just had really good sources, and he was a great reporter.
He wasn't a
conspiracy theorist.
He's my competitor, I say. And he does sometimes speak or speculate, I've heard, I think. I don't listen to him a lot. But he may, for example, the famous one about Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, the one, Newtown, Connecticut. The mass shooting, he may have speculated that at points that this may have been or this was or whatever, actors of false flag type of thing, because false flags, I guess, do happen. They are set up in order to make excuses to go after start wars and all kinds of things. And so he may, like, speak and speculate a little bit, but I think he tries to get it right. I think he
also tells you when he's speculating.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? I think
if you get him in context, I bet you that's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know this for sure because I used to watch his show religiously when I was a lefty too, by the way.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Here's a funny one. I was talking to a right-wing friend of mine. And because Florida was cold for like a couple weeks or whatever. So I go up to him and I'm like, hey, it's been cold for a little bit. And I was going to make a global warming joke. Before I could even say anything, he goes, yeah, you know, the liberals are controlling the weather.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, yeah, well, you know, they can control the weather. And I'm like, they can't control the weather. Because they'll point you to the NASA video where they made it rain in an open field for 2 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, look, they can control the weather. Like, I believe they're trying to control the weather.
Yeah.
I just don't believe it's a thing that they can actually do. It's almost like transgenderism in a way, where they're trying to formulate human beings to this thing and trying to make us be what they want us to be and convincing us that they can actually switch sexes.
Right.
And you're learning that they don't have that thing figured out yet. But they convinced us that they could. I think they've done the same thing with things like that, controlling the weather. I don't think if they could control the weather, if they could, let's put it in these terms, play God and control the weather. Do you think they would actually play these stupid political games with us? You get what
I'm
saying?
That's a good question. Yeah, I know. I don't think we're giving them too much credit. That's total.
Too much credit. Too much credit. And also, I don't believe human beings could play God. I think they can try, but they will never be able to. And the fact that we're giving them the credit that they could play God,
right.
It makes a lot of right-wingers scared. It makes them nervous. It makes them think that they're more powerful than they are. When in reality, anything liberal ends up being just a bureaucracy of incompetent people.
Right.
It's a league of unextraordinary men.
Yep.
And they're occasionally
very competent at doing evil sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. That's so true, man.
Yeah, they're not gods, and we're giving them the credit of gods.
Well, I heard this theory, and it's true, that losers become conspiracy theorists. That's why you saw the liberals blaming Russia and Putin and Russian bots for Trump winning in 2016. And now, for many, 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 many decades and generations, the Southerners have been trampled, their rights trampled on, and Christians and whites and men have been losing, and conservatives and independent thinkers, libertarians and all them. And so they're naturally going to get into their imagination about some things. Conspiracy theory, of course, was a term made up by the CIA or something to just brush it all off, even the true conspiracy facts. But there's without a doubt, every human being gets into their imagination and just jumps to false conclusions about stuff that they have no clue what they're talking about.
Right. They're just filling in blanks that they don't know. And then it becomes like, well, could it be that? And then eventually it becomes, that's what it is.
It's like a game of telephone. You ever play the game of telephone?
Yes,
where you tell somebody something and then they change it inadvertently, and then it becomes something completely different. And there's, of course, other troublemakers who will change it on purpose and totally butcher your message.
Exactly. That's why that's such an interesting game.
Yeah, I love that game.
As kids, because you learn something
about
it. I think there's just there's a knee-jerk reaction kind of thing that goes on, like with this again, please don't misconstrue this. I do believe in a deep state.
Right.
I believe that exists. I believe they are coming after conservatives, but these little nonsensical things that we're putting all this energy into, it just doesn't make sense to me when we have things that are out in the open.
Yeah.
That are happening. You know what I mean? And now the thing, too, to understand about the conspiracy theory thing, for instance, they'll say, like, the Trump-Russia thing. That didn't happen. That was just a lie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The conspiracy theory would be that the Democrats and the deep state got together to make up the lie, which actually ended up being true.
Yeah.
So it was never a conspiracy theory. They just made us think. It's like you said, the CIA version of it.
Right.
They made us think it was a conspiracy theory. And it really wasn't.
Yeah. That's why I try to talk to my viewers and say, don't believe stuff that you don't know. Don't stick with what you know and realize what you don't know. Because people can hear something about, for example, Trump and that dirty video woman, Stephanie Clifford, so-called Stormy Daniels.
Yeah.
The rat, Michael Cohen, allegedly, I guess, paid her something to shut up. And therefore this happened. But you don't know whether this happened or not. Leave it as I don't know. It's not even your business.
This is why I'm so big on judgment, because I think there's things that, like, I do think there's things that God gives us, gifts that he gives us. I think judgment is one of those things.
Yeah, common sense.
And I think logic is another thing that God gave us as a gift.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when you use logic, I'd say 9 times out of 10, maybe 10 times out of 10, you're going to be right. You may not be fully correct, but you're in the right ballpark at least.
Big picture.
You get the big picture.
Yeah.
And when you use logic and you use that, and also when you, this is where I'm not like a person who screams my faith in God, but this is where I do have a faith in God, is that people that play God will never win. They're basically, that's the devil using people to play, to try to be God, because that's what he's always tried to do.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So my faith in God is that he's not going to beat God in trying to be God.
Right. Yeah.
You get what I mean? A lot of these Christians and a lot of these right wingers who claim that they're Christians who have huge faith in God, they don't, because they're scared of liberals.
That's true. I have callers who I hear callers on some of my other co-hosts, the fellow other hosts on the JLP network, American Anchor Baby. There's a caller who said he's afraid of what's going to happen to the white men of this country or white America, because they're coming after the whites and destroying the country while they're at it. But there's no room for fear in God, in love. It's so
white
true, man.
White people lost this country because they became cowards.
Yeah.
And they let people take this country. And now they're sitting around going, our country was stolen from us. No, you let it be yeah. taken from you. You never stood up for your country the way your ancestors did. You're yeah. doing the same thing that black people are doing, where you're riding off of your ancestors' laurels. You
right.
see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so true.
Make your own.
Yep. So true, man. Yeah. You know, the Bible even says God gives good sense to the godly. And he gives us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, not of fear and yes. discipline. Man, that's great.
Absolutely.
Okay, before we get to this last topic. No, let's get to this last topic and then plow into calls, because I want to get to all of your stuff. The root of American racism. We talked about whites and the attack on whites just now. So let's talk about the root of American racism. What is this about, Krishan the Don?
Well, you know, now I think about it, maybe that was like a bad way to word it. But I was doing a lot of research because of, you know, black history.
Yeah.
I was doing this thing on my show. We were kind of debunking a lot of black history stories that they told us. A lot of things that were just lies. I think, for instance, like Jim Crow wasn't as bad as they claim it was.
Yeah.
I don't think it would, like, if you really look up what Jim Crow is, it was just about segregation, more or less.
Okay.
A lot of black people, I think, are under the belief that it meant that you could just kill a black person legally and nothing would happen to you. And lynchings were legal, which isn't true.
Right.
Lynchings were never legal. They were always considered extrajudicial, which means not legal,
yeah.
more or less. So I was basically looking at that, and then I was kind of seeing that segregation was almost like becoming sort of like or integration was becoming more of just the, I guess you could call it, a trendy kind of thing, where a lot of people that lived during Jim Crow, even Jesse says it a lot, is that white people and black people were already integrating before there was the
yeah.
civil rights and Jim Crow was ended.
Naturally. Or separating naturally. But yeah, they were coming together naturally. Yeah.
Organically, they were yep. doing it. And I believe that that's where we get into what I meant, I guess, by the root of racism. What I mean is more, what's the root of the racial animosity that we have in this country today? I believe it was from forced integration. I believe even, I find it hard to believe that all black people, even back then, were so quick to integrate with white people. Like, I think it's funny, too, that it's hard for black people and anybody really to believe that this resentment that black people have for slavery is some kind of a new thing. Like, I feel like that's existed for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I think that even back during Jim Crow and stuff like that, black people were committing what we call today hate crimes against white people.
Yeah.
Just like black or white people were committing hate crimes against black people. I think it happened on both sides. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't think, you know, I don't know if there are numbers that back it up. But, you know, there's just a lot of things that we weren't really, we were taught were way worse than they were.
Yeah.
I got into the Emmett Till thing. I know that's one you don't touch these days.
Oh, I've been touching on it a lot. I like that story because it's, they don't tell the whole truth at all about it.
At all. At all. Because there's people that like will bring up the fact. Did you see the thing where they said that the woman that accused Emmett Till came out and admitted that she lied about it?
Yeah, and that never happened.
It never happened.
Yep.
The person who was supposed to prove it goes, oh, here's a recording. And then the recording never said it.
Uh-huh.
The person never said it. And
but
then
he jotted down
well,
a note. He furiously yeah. jotted down a note. And she didn't even recant. She just said, that was in the past. Anyway, maybe that part wasn't true. It was in the past, according to him. According to him.
He claimed
he
had
an agenda,
recording.
Clearly.
He claimed well, here's the crazy thing. This is how I know it's not true. Logic. He had a recording device recording the entire conversation. They have the entire conversation, but they're like, this doesn't say anything about recanting the Emmett Till thing.
Right.
He goes, well, I think maybe the recorder went off at that moment. I had to change batteries or I had to do. He made up a bunch of excuses of why the recording wasn't there. And it's like, so you're telling me you recorded everything but the most pivotal part of the entire story.
Yeah. Because the story was, what everybody says, he was kidnapped and tortured and lynched by two racist white men for whistling at a white woman.
Whistling Dixie.
This woman alleged, and I don't know if it's true, because women lie too, of course.
Yeah, of course.
That he like grabbed her, cussed at her, and was saying, I F white women before. His dad, by the way, was hanged in the army for allegedly, or maybe convictedly, raping and even murdering, I think, some women over like in Paris or somewhere.
Emmett Till's?
Yeah, his dad.
Daddy Till? Oh, wow.
Joe, I forget what his name, Joseph Till, something like that. But anyway, she went outside and got her gun. I don't think she would just get her gun just over a whistle.
Over just a whistle, yeah.
And this guy was from Chicago, I think he was from Chicago, right? Visiting the South. He was completely different culture. Chicago, maybe blacks were a little bit more wild and allowed to be out of control and disrespectful.
Yeah.
And
wilding.
Down in, what is this, Mississippi?
Yeah.
They don't play like that. And his dad, I think, was killed in the army when he was like 4 years old or something. I think Emmett Till was 4 years old, and then he was 14 at this point, right?
Right, right.
And so this guy was, and people were mature. Young men were fairly mature or grown, and that's definitely old enough to have gone through puberty and be a bad kid, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And this Mammy Till gal, she's the mother, she went along with the so-called civil rights movement, just like these evil black mothers go along with the Black Lives Matter movement and willfully get used for evil.
And they used it to
so that's not a good mother.
Civil rights through to be
exactly
to spark it.
That's a sign that mother was not a decent woman, you know, to be used by these communists who are pushing hatred and did an open casket to horrify.
Yeah.
Was he truly, mutilated, or was he just found at the bottom of a creek and his body was all decomposed from that?
Bloated, yeah. Like the kid that fell in the gym mat.
Oh, yeah, terrible. Yeah, people were speculating all the time, and so that was not the whole story.
Yeah, my thing is that, I don't know if those guys were racist.
Yeah.
My point is, though, if there is actually a reason that, let's say they thought that this guy tried to even rape their sister.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe by law this isn't right, but honestly, if you beat a rapist to death and throw him in a creek, you know what I mean?
I
get that, especially at that time.
But yeah, times were tougher at that time.
Yeah, we're not talking about these guys were going out looking for blacks.
Right.
And they found one.
Yeah, it wasn't just some random guy. It was a perceived violation that, according to the story, which who knows what the real story is. And I, of course, disavow murder and all that.
Yeah.
It doesn't justify it, but at least be honest about it. They're pretending like these are blacks are these poor, innocent victims all the time. And they do way more black-on-white murders and assaults and R-words, ape raids, and robberies than... And it was happening even in the 50s, I heard, according to this Time magazine article from back in the 50s, the black crime rate was high even back then.
For instance, let's talk about like lynchings, right?
Uh-huh.
Lynchings weren't, first off, it wasn't legal. It was, you know, it's a mob going after people.
Yeah.
I understand. That's horrible, right?
Right.
But they weren't going after, they weren't just hunting down black people.
Right. It was perceived.
There were people for instance, there's crime. A really famous one. I forget the guy's name, but he was a fugitive. A black guy he was a fugitive on the run for killing a deputy.
Uh-huh.
The community basically got together, looked for this guy, found him, and instead of turning him over to the police, they lynched him. They killed him. So my point is it wasn't right for them to do that. The right thing would have been to turn him over to the police.
Yeah. There was distrust in the justice system even back then amongst the whites,
they,
I guess.
Maybe. I mean, if you look at Tulsa, right? Yeah. They call it the Tulsa Massacre. That was just really like a community versus a community.
Yeah.
That was it was a racial, I think, thing. But black people did have the means to protect themselves at that time, the means to build Tulsa to begin with.
And they rebuilt it afterwards.
Yeah. So it's like, at what point are we talking about, like, where we can't, like, can we at least just see that we weren't taught that time the right way? It was a little different. And I would say
mutual fighting, oftentimes.
Mutual fighting, mutual animosity.
Good and bad people on both sides, on many
the
sides.
Same, exactly. The same racial animosity we have today is basically spillover from back then.
Yeah.
And black people had the same, they were building coalitions. The NAACP was created, I think, in the, like, 1909 or something like that. If this country was already.
And those were propagandists. Those were communists. Wasn't that W.E.B. Du Bois, the guy who left America?
Yes, yes.
I think he was like this socialist communist guy who hated America.
And
he was half white too, I think, by the way.
And it's crazy how a lot of those people also, because Rosa Parks was part of NAACP.
Yeah.
It's crazy how all those people were also connected to some kind of big case or something that, you know, like Rosa Parks with the busing thing. It's almost like they did that all on purpose to push through civil rights.
Yeah.
When it wasn't about integration because America was already integrating.
Yeah.
It was already happening. Jim Crow laws weren't federal laws either. They were local laws. That's why a lot of states didn't have them.
You're reminding me of this book by this former guest of the Jesse Lee Peterson show, Vox Day. He made this book called SJWs Always Lie. And SJWs are nothing more than just communists, just mama spirit, devilish liberals who just, they always lie. And so that was happening even back then. And now the conservatives have swallowed a lot of these MLK type lies. What a mess.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But then that's why I said, I get like really weary about seeing where the Republican Party's going, where there's a lot of pandering going on to black people. And it just goes to the same place where we become the party of black people. It's like, I don't want to be that.
Right.
I'm half of one myself. I don't want my racial identity to be part of my politics. It's
stupid. Let's cut out the kiss up culture.
Can I just cover this real quick?
Yeah.
I caught a lot of flack from right wingers on my video about Trump because I did a video called Trump's biggest failures are usually tied to him pandering to black people. That's not the exact title, but it started because John Kennedy in the Senate started questioning the director of the Bureau of Prisons on the First Step Act, which you remember that was Trump's.
Yeah.
Basically, letting black folks.
Letting felons out of jail early sometimes.
Right. Now, the First Step Act is there's questions on whether or not it's failing or if it's working, right? So there was this line of questioning where he asked her, how many people have been released with the First Step Act since it's been instilled? She says 30,000 people. In 6 years, right?
Okay.
Which is a crazy number to me, because when I heard First Step Act, when I first heard it thrown to us, we're talking like 5,000 people a year in that with that number.
And that hasn't been 7 years, has it?
I think it's been 6 years. Well, not fully 6 years, but
wow,
we're still, it's still a high number. I thought First Step Act would have been a couple, you know, maybe 100. Here and there, like special cases.
I think Tucker Carlson covered a case where somebody committed a murder after getting let out on the First Step Act.
This is the second part, right? She was questioned on whether, like, how many of these people have reoffended out of this 30,000.
Oh, yeah.
She starts, like, literally juggling papers. I don't have those numbers, Senator.
Here's you want to know that number? Isn't that one of the basics?
I've watched these Senate things a million times. When they say, when a bureau tells you they don't have the number, bureaus are all based on numbers. When they tell you they don't have the number, they actually do. It's such a bad number. It looks bad on what they're doing. So I don't believe the First Step Act is actually working. And we have to admit that's a failure on Trump, a big failure based on him pandering to black people.
Yep.
That's the only reason he put it. He made it a thing. The second thing that I always hated that Trump did that was super pandering to black people was the way he dealt with the BLM riots. I felt like he was way too soft on that. I think the second that we saw that those governors that ran those states and the mayors and all those people, that they were just going to let it happen. They were going to let people die. They were going to let those cities be destroyed. Not only that, they were bailing out rioters. And we're talking politicians. Trump should have, and this sounds crazy, Trump should have declared martial law in all those cities.
I agree with you, actually.
Temporary martial law and crack down on that. When CHOP became a thing, autonomous zones,
Chaz,
he shouldn't have let that happen.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, here's the thing. This is why I hate the pandering, because right-wingers don't want to like look at it and go, if he would have done that, declared martial law, cleaned it up, I guarantee you that would have got him more black voters than anything else that he's doing right now. Then the First Step Act, then the Platinum Plan. That would have actually got him more black voters.
Yeah.
But no, we have to be careful around the blacks. We have to be scared.
Wow, that was
racist,
the real,
anyway.
That was the real insurrection around the country, and it's happened more than once around the country, trying to burn down courthouses and police precincts and kill people sometimes and break up stuff. They're the violent kill Trump supporters in some cases, and Patriot
Absolutely,
Prayer guys.
Yeah. I'm not blaming Trump for the riots.
Right, of course, but
I'm just
handling
saying
it like a man of authority,
like a man,
law and
make
order.
Make a hard decision. They're going to call you racist anyway.
Yeah.
They think you're a white supremacist anyway. Just do your job.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing. That's my critique of Trump that got me a lot of flack from right-wingers, where they're like, almost like they think I'm ruining the black vote from going to Trump.
Oh.
And I'm like, are you that scared?
Blacks
that you
are,
can't tell the truth now?
Black mothers are like begging for more police because they're not safe. The children aren't safe in their own communities from other blacks.
Right.
What a mess.
The people that should be the fathers in the neighborhoods.
True.
Not. Yeah. And you see a lot of conservatives now, they get offended for black people.
I know. Makes me want to spit.
Like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. We're better.
That's what's encouraging all of this attack on whites is this weakness, this fear, this phoniness. Because nothing makes you people want to spit more than a weak kiss up phony, scared person. You're just inviting your own genocide.
No one likes a coward.
Yeah, true. Okay.
Sorry, you got callers, right?
Yeah, I have a ton of callers, and I only have 10 minutes. Okay, I have some super chats, though. On buymeacoffee.com/thehakereport, Kirkland bought 3 coffees asking, what do you think of churches doing ceremonies in Latin or Greek? You have any thought on that?
I mean, language is language. I guess however you can...
If you understand it, it's fine, but Latin masses and nobody knows Latin?
Oh, okay.
I think that it's...
It's like a waste.
I think it's a waste. Yeah.
Fair point. I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. Lin Yen Shin says, joy is emotion. Peace is not. Inner stillness is peace. In peace is God's grace experienced as you give Jesus the wheel. True. Effort is vanity, a.k.a. sin or insecurity, taking the wheel. Good work, Lord Goodhair. That's referring to what we were talking about with tongues and the caller who is really believing in the tongues thing, but he's also insecure, I guess we would call it. I think it's a fair description of Stephen from Illinois. Thanks for the feedback, Lin Yen Shin.
We're all insecure about something.
Yeah. He also says, Lin Yen Shin also says, white Jesus asks that we return to the Father's skateboard park so that we might kickflip evil away. White Jesus is at one with all who use skateboarders. Even he guides the hearts of the blats who get good at skateboarding. Isn't that nice? I think it's metaphorical. Thank you, Lin Yen Shin.
Something else?
Skateboarding, like being white. Being white and fair, or something like that.
Okay.
Because blacks, too, can become white on the inside, washed white as snow with the blood of Christ, I think. That's why he calls him white Jesus. Thank you, Lin Yen Shin.
I think.
Okay. Oh my gosh. I was gonna try to get to Joe in Phoenix and have round two with Joe in Phoenix, but he dropped there. Evil is Still Real in Texas is on the line with Krishan the Don and Hake. What's up, Evil is Still Real? Thanks for calling, CJ.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Hake? Hey. I think probably you're one of your only viewers that's actually called into Krishan the Don's show. And
wow.
Show awesome.
Yes. CJ has actually become like kind of a regular watcher of my show. Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. I didn't know that.
I'm one of your called in.
I'm one of the 13 viewers. So I cannot believe you have Krishan the Don on. You're talking about loser right wing conspiracy theories and Paul all on the same show.
Heaven for you, huh?
It's like I woke up in heaven, man. But so here's the thing, Krishan, is that Hake thinks that every time Jesus spoke something, it's trivial and it doesn't matter, because when you prove that Paul taught the exact opposite of it, Hake's like, well, that's just nitpicking. So
right.
Hake pretty much thinks that whenever Jesus said anything, it wasn't really that important.
Really?
No, that's not what I would say, but he's straw-manning me a little bit, but that's his interpretation of what I'm saying. I say that Jesus and Paul were pretty much agreeing,
Let's get through some. I'd like Krishan's opinion on this. When Jesus said, I am the only teacher, and he told the apostles, you shall not call yourself teachers. And when Jesus said, you have one Father, and that is God in heaven, is that a fundamental teaching of Jesus Christ, or is that just trivial nothingness?
No, I think that is a fundamental.
Yeah.
Great. Because yeah. Matthew 23, we have, and called no man your father, or 8, Matthew 23, 8, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brethren.
Nice.
And 9, and called no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for you have one master, the Christ, and he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. So the greatest among us shall be our servant, not Christ's servant. And
now, let me ask you a question.
Your opinion on this? Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. Is this maybe this is where Hake might be coming from? Because I kind of feel this too. Is the maybe the word teacher we're kind of putting too much into that? Where I do think we do need people that I don't want to say, yeah, I guess teach kind of. I guess
the Holy Spirit is the teacher. We're not supposed to call ourselves, but it's.
Teaching as in like, go ahead.
No. Let me finish his point because I'm saying that you're hung up on words and you're missing the meaning. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have this. Paul, I don't think, had this spirit of this haughty spirit of, oh, I'm a teacher. You know what I mean?
Oh, he does.
You're saying he does, but I don't think he does.
Okay, 1 Timothy 2. For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth.
Right, but he's not haughtily saying that. He's using words to communicate, I think.
Okay, actually, so the other 12 apostles were told not to call themselves teachers. Paul is the teacher.
There's a thing where I get where CJ is coming from, because part of the reason why I was like a little, like actually why I'm a lot of skeptical about Paul is... He gets a lot of his credibility in the Bible from claiming that he had a conversation with Jesus, I believe, like 7 years after he already died.
Yep.
So,
with no witnesses but himself.
But that's because Jesus said. Paul, why do you, Saul, or Paul, why do you persecute me? And Jesus, after he died, also had conversations with other disciples because he came back to life or whatever.
No.
The kicking of the goad was actually a quote from a pagan god in a play written by Euripides. So Paul is claiming that Jesus is now quoting pagan gods when he's talking to Paul. But let's get on to the word father, right?
I'm going to have to wrap. I got to wrap it up soon. Make it quick.
Oh.
1 minute.
All right. Yeah. Paul calls himself your father in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul says he is your father. So maybe the word father is also one of those weird words like teacher.
Yeah, because anyway, Jesus said call no man father too, huh?
Yeah, you have one father, and then Paul actually says he's your teacher, and Paul says he's your father.
I shrug that off. I don't think that Paul meant anything like that.
Of course you shrug it off, man. there's no other of the 12 apostles ever called themselves a teacher. They never taught anything other than their gospels are just quotes from Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the teacher. Paul never quotes Jesus. He proclaims himself the teacher, and he calls himself your daddy. You couldn't get more gay than that, dude.
Also, here's another thing. Paul never actually met Jesus or even saw him speak or talk to him.
No, actually, what he did is he just murdered a bunch of Christians until he said, I'm going to take over their religion. So if you also go into, and I'll wrap this up and adios myself, if you actually read the Clementine homilies, Paul goes by all these different names, and one of them, everybody agrees, is he's Simon the Magus. And in the Clementine homilies, the Church of James calls Paul by a name, and their name for Paul is the Enemy. And he throws Jesus' brother James down a flight of stairs, breaks both of his legs, thinks he's killed James, so he leaves him alone and takes off. This is post-conversion Paul.
Oh, that's after he repented?
Yeah, after he repented, he tried to murder Jesus' little brother after they got into a fight at the temple, because Paul, who boasts about how, oh, I slap the apostles down, I tell them to their face that they're wrong, and then he goes into the temple, tries to murder Jesus' little brother. Dude, Paul is...
It happens, man. It happens. David,
most evil person.
David was a man after God's own heart. I got to end, though. Evil is still real. It's great to talk with you, CJ.
Yeah, evil, yeah. Call in later.
Paul or Muhammad, hard to tell which one's more evil.
All right, take care. David in Ocala, Florida, wanted to speak on tongues. Ronnie in Ohio wanted to ask Krishan's views on racism. Russ in New Jersey had a prediction, or was asking a prediction maybe, for vice president. I cannot get to you guys and the rest of the callers and super chats. I'll have to read tomorrow. Krishan the Don on Twitter. The Misfit Nation on YouTube, also on Twitter, and on Rumble as a user.
Yes.
And I appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you, Hake. Anytime that you need me, I'm here.
Cool. Yeah. Guys, catch Joel Friday TV coming up next. In the meantime, enjoy Heresy. Heresy by 90 Pound Wuss Wednesday. It's 90 Pound Wuss from 1997 album Where Meager Die of Self-Interest. Adios, America. Bye.
Well, I'm just a father, sick boy, and you have nothing left. Torn apart inside myself and given life mess. I think of the destruction of God, facing love without its time, yeah, whatever it is. But yes!
It's Christian. Christian punk. Beta. Thanks again, guys.
Suffer in death, you don't lose life.
Adios, America. He says Christ is God here. Adios, America. Bye.